This is Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond simply talking about Christianity to walking more like Christ. This is the Christ who really walked in a very small part of the earth's terra, of its dirt. I mean, Jerusalem is not a big area, and Israel is a quite small nation when you place it over, let's say, a simple state like Texas. It's just a part of it. And yet he impacted the world because he was part of something much bigger, the plan of God to reach the world with a simple message. And we see it all through the Bible. In the book of Genesis, there's this sense that Adam and Eve were to populate the earth, and Abraham was given a covenant that spiritually would impact the earth, the world being blessed through a nation and a Messiah who, when he came to earth, said he would die for us. And the book closes, that book called the Bible, saying that indeed his blood was shed for people from every tribe, language, and tongue, and people. And what you have here is the idea that God has a plan of which we're all to be part. But when you try to work it out in a local church setting or in your own life, it can be rather confusing. What is missions? How do we make it work practically in our lives and for our neighbor? We have with us a guest who's done a lot of thinking about this. She's written a book on it, and her name is Sharon Hoover. And the name of her book is called Mapping Church Missions. So we give that as a title to this program. Sharon, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a joy to be here.
Sharon, how did you first come to write this book, Mapping Church Missions?
Primarily, it came out of working at the local church. So I've been our missions leader, our missions director at our congregation, and trying to help bring the resources of the church as well as our individuals into the Great Commission, and trying to figure out what direction to go is a challenge. And then in talking with colleagues in other churches in my area as well as other places across the country, I found we all have very similar challenges of trying to understand the options and trying to figure out the best way to serve.
As an aside, I just want to say it's pretty cool having you on, because you're the director of missions at Centerville Presbyterian Church in Centerville, Virginia, where mm-hmm. you've been for almost 25 years. And we've crossed paths, but in the early days, I was involved helping to start that church. And I'm just really excited to see what God's doing, and now sharing how he's using you with this message. Because I can say, as a pastor down here in Hendersonville, North Carolina, that the mission part is really difficult. It's like having a meal too big to eat. I mean, there's so many pieces you can bite off, and it's kind of hard to know how to tackle it as a church. So I thank you for all the insights you put into this book. And before we go on, I want to say to the listener, you may be a pastor, but you may just be a Christian involved in a church, and the book will be helpful, whatever your status. Mm-hmm. I encourage you to look it up. You can go to Amazon.com and find it there, for example, mm-hmm. Mapping Church Missions. Sharon, how would you define missions if you had to say it in a phrase or a paragraph? What is missions?
Isn't that the crux? Because everybody has their own vision as to what does God mean when he calls us to serve. And I think it's a combination of both the great commandment to be able to love one another as Christ loves us, and to be his witnesses in that way, but also the Great Commission to be able to tell his name verbally to our immediate neighbors as well as those on the far side of the planet. Hmm. And so we bring in all of our different ideas together into one individual church and try to figure out how do we connect with those. And it's a challenge.
It really is. It sounds like you don't have a sharp differentiation between the stuff overseas and what happens in our backyard. Is that right?
I think as I have done a lot of research and reading in Scripture, I really see God calls us to all places. Hmm. And the struggle that many of us have within our congregations of local versus global, I find it's actually counterproductive in being able to serve. We definitely are called to be witnesses right in our immediate own community, our own neighbor we're responsible for. But clearly in Scripture, we are to go to those who don't know him. And the Lord does indeed call people to the unreached people in the far corners of the planet for us.
Hmm. You know, I guess by way of example, I just came before this interview from a lunch with a brother from Iraq and doing a great work there. But he's right in my backyard. And there are people, we can reach the nations by just noticing our neighbors and reaching out in love to them. And sometimes when we reach our neighbors, we'll be called to go out to the nations. And I love what you're doing here, because for many church mission groups, leaders, committees, whatever, they have this dichotomy, and there's a wrestling match between the local and the global. It doesn't need to be there. It's all God's work.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good, Sharon. So as you look at the issue of preaching the gospel versus living the faith, is that a dichotomy?
Yes, actually, that comes up frequently, and I spent one chapter on that particular. The very first chapter is about good news and good deeds, and we are called to both ends of this continuum, if you will, or spectrum, but there is tension, unfortunately, along both sides. But in Scripture, we clearly see that we are called to come alongside one another, carry one another's burdens, take care of one another. And then also, we also know that we're supposed to speak the words of Christ. We're supposed to tell of his sacrifice and of all that he has done for us. And so oftentimes we have people who are on one side or the other, and we don't fully understand how God is using each other throughout this whole spectrum.
Hmm. I remember being in India and seeing the work of Mother Teresa, and they're living the gospel. They're not saying a lot, but they're making a difference. But thinking about the fact that when we come home to America, there are many people who are just caught up in doing the good deeds, but there's no gospel. There's no life-changing message. And the world is good at that. Philanthropy is something everyone who has money should be involved in. It's just part of being common humans. It's part of humanism, in fact, you know. And it's not a bad thing. It's a great thing. We should all be involved in that. But there's something about this gospel. And it's the core. It's the whole core of the idea of missions, isn't it? Reaching someone else with a message of eternal life. And yet,
absolutely,
Mother Teresa knew if you don't feed their stomachs, you can't reach their souls.
Mm-hmm. And yet, as people were looking at Mother Teresa, she drew their attention to the Lord through her lifestyle, through her conversation with them, that people did see God in her. So for me, in my local community, for example, where our church, for example, does work and help out within a local school. And so when we've been there a number of years now, and now we have the opportunity for teachers come to me and say, oh, you're with the church, you're with Central Press. Can you pray for my grandmother who's having surgery? And so the presence of being there is allowing the conversation. I at no point hide that I'm from a church. And so it's an opportunity for faith to come into just general casual conversation where it wouldn't otherwise. But people see us there as being individuals who care and want to invest in the community and want to come alongside the children who are there in the school.
Hmm. You know, there's this dichotomy that historically came into the church, especially in America in the early 1900s, 1920s, the fundamentalist movement versus today we call them the progressives, sometimes the liberals. And what's happened is there is this dichotomy between social action and the preaching of the gospel that should have never been there. Because Christ both helped feed the poor and reached out to the hungry. He healed the broken in body and spirit, preached the good news. And so that's what you're living out, the embodiment of the Spirit of Christ by doing both. And you've probably seen this dichotomy in some ways. Do you feel the tension in the church that maybe shouldn't be there at times?
I do. Going back to even just talking about the local elementary school, I've tried to encourage other churches to come and help. This is a Title I school that we're helping. They have a number of challenges that the families face in that school. But, for example, one conversation I had with the church, their very first question was, when you meet with kids, do you share the gospel with them? And I said, well, no, what we need help with right now are math tutors with second graders. So they said that their missions ministry does not partner or work with organizations where you can't share the gospel. And that is not bad. I mean, it's important to be able to give testimony to what Christ has done. But sometimes in the case of working with this public school, we need to build the relationship first. Then as I have been building the relationship, I've been able to turn conversations to spiritual ones. Or they have been leading conversations to me. Like, now, why is your church here? Why do you guys spend time here? And it's just an open door for me to be able to say, we have a sense of calling to our community because of the love that Jesus has for us. And we want to be here to be able to care and come alongside you. And then those conversations just continue to develop. So unfortunately, for this one church, it has cut them out of serving in places that the door is so needed to be walked through to be able to live out our faith.
That's really well stated. I think each of us, and I want to challenge each of us, myself included, we have potential open doors, but we have to open our hearts to show God's love to people in the context in which they live. You know, maybe in India, in the street of Calcutta, it was lifting someone who was dying off the street and just nursing their wounds, maybe as they died, in the house of the dying there. Not much hope to save them, but to love them in it. And what's your place? What's mine? So then it leads to the question, Sharon, really, of often as churches, we're throwing money toward the crisis. You know, we have the last two hurricanes, and as a church, we're scrambling to know how to get money, you know, to hit both fronts, you know. But then sustainable development, the long term, talk to us about this dichotomy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's definitely a challenge. There has been a lot written about this, that the church has not always done this kind of resource giving well, in that when we do really well with the crisis response, I believe, as the church, and that means the disasters, like the natural disasters that hit, that just wipe out communities. There absolutely are needs, and whether it's food and water, shelter, clothing, those things are definitely needed by men and women and families who are struggling. But then there's also the crisis that all of us are familiar with in our own communities, where someone has a medical emergency or they lose their job or all these things that have become a crisis of families that are kind of living on the edge, close to becoming homeless. And then we come alongside homeless shelters. And those are all very important needs because we are called to carry one another's burdens and walk alongside them. I think the challenge for us as a church, though, is at what point are we enabling, at what point are we not able to recognize that there's not a crisis situation anymore, and the situation we ought to be doing is mentoring and helping somebody move along toward a sustainable life. And that's that in my conversations with people who are involved in this type of ministry, that is a really big challenge, because when do you push a community, when do you push a family or an individual to say, all right, we're not doing the handouts right now. You need to start making goals and directions of where you want to go to be able to have a more sustainable life. And I liken it to this phrase that I really love right now, called faithful presence. That we as believers are called to be a faithful presence in one another's life. And being faithful is coming alongside them, but also prodding and encouraging when it's time for them to move on to sustainability. And then we as a church need to walk alongside somebody. And mentoring is hard. It's slow. It's two steps forward, one step back. But you can't take pictures, quote unquote, you know, beginning and an ending of rebuilding a house. It's definitely a more long-term commitment that I think we as a church really are equipped to do that. But we need to make the commitment to be able to step into it.
Cool. Christ said it kind of simply, go make disciples of all the nations. He did say to preach. It's sort of the quick fix, give them the gospel, but come alongside. In Mark, it says he chose 12 that he might be with them. And they walked together for those 3 years. It changed their lives. And this is clearly the core and center of what we're to do as Christians. And I love what you're saying in your book, Sharon. It's basically trying to help us think critically and analytically. Are we doing things that are going to make the best long-term result? Because if it's always throwing money at a project, it may not be changing people as much as would be the more difficult thing, life-to-life interaction over time. So you gave a few examples the way you're diving into the work with the schools and mentoring opportunities in people's lives. I think we can all find the Boys and Girls Club and programs like that. We can also make programs if they don't exist, because it's really about people, isn't it? Like, if we have a program to teach Spanish, we build friends with the Hispanic and we reach out. If we have a program to tutor children in learning English, there it is. It's an open door.
It is, absolutely.
What are there a few other practical examples you can give us, kind of spur us on to walk through this open door of person-to-person discipleship?
Mm-hmm. One of the gaps that we found in our community is helping men and women who are wanting to step out of homelessness, of which they've gotten there in a variety of different ways, and then helping them to be able to step into the job market. So in our research, I found a program. It's called Jobs for Life. Jobs for Life is essentially a curriculum, the core of what it is. But there is a huge amount of support and work and people surrounding each student who participates in it. It's actually I love it because it's a Christ-centered, biblically-based curriculum, but each student has mentors, so then we have members of the church who come alongside and are in class with the student. It's a 16-session class, and then it does everything from the, how to interview, how to make a resume, and all that kind of stuff, but it also goes into the character of an individual and the importance of that God created us for work and that there's dignity in work. And so for the church to host this program is working then with the organizations in the community who serve those who are homeless or those who are really on the verge of homelessness to help them to step into a better sustainable job. And so what we as the church and you and I can do is, I've got time. Some of us, we have a lot of professionals in our communities and our churches who can come alongside and mentor these men and women who are committed and ready to start to step into a new life. But it requires it's not pretty, it's messy, it's long. These folks have a lot of challenges that they've worked through, but God is so faithful as he comes alongside, help the mentors, helping them to mentor, and then the students trying to encourage them as they take these new steps.
Excellent. Before I ask the next question, let's take this break.
Life is a journey, and when we connect our lives to Scripture, it can be truly amazing. Scripture Awakening has launched a new Bible study series called Be Next Amazing Journey. Be Next Bible Studies answer the what's next question most people ask after completing our very popular Bible reading program, Bible in 90 Days, or B90. Be Next Amazing Journey is designed to replicate the successful B90 experience. Be Next Studies are designed to be accessible, economical, and flexible, so we offer them in print, video, and digital formats. This month, with your gift of $30 or more, we will send you the Be Next Amazing Journey booklet entitled Rescuing Heroes, which covers the books of Joshua through 2 Samuel. Go to scriptureawakening.com and click on the banner ad featuring the Be Next Rescuing Heroes booklet. Go to scriptureawakening.com. Be next from Scripture Awakening, awakening your world to the power of God's Word.
Welcome back to Beyond Words Radio. This is Bill Campbell. Glad you're with us today. We have a guest, Sharon Hoover, who's written a book about missions and how to make it work in the local church. It's called Mapping Church Missions. And as we look at this book and listen to the author, we're gleaning insights that can help us make a difference as Christ did in the world. Sharon, I wanted to ask you, as we think about this idea of the difference between just throwing money at a crisis and being involved in sustainable development, how this might look at missions when we reach out, like overseas. I know our church has, we have missionaries, but then there's a particular church in Merida, Mexico, where we've had a long-term partnership, and maybe this is part of it, having partnerships where through relationships that are ongoing, we help build projects and we stay in touch. Is that maybe an example?
Oh, I think that's really important. Having partnerships for international work is really important because the cross-cultural dynamics that we don't always understand, and in some cases the Western Church has not done a good job in those kinds of relationship where we're just throwing money, not knowing what's going on the other end. And folks who are in those situations where we are serving or hoping to serve, there are other things that we could be doing to come alongside them. So when you said partnership, that's huge. And so that's us listening to them as to what their desire is for their community and how we can help them to take their next steps and where they want to be able to go. Not just because I want to send a team down to build or paint a house. That may not be what they need anymore.
So let's jump into another topic, and you touch on this in your book, short-term teams. I've heard the statistic that if someone goes short-term on missions, there's a more than 50%, maybe up to 70, 80% chance they'll become missionaries long-term. I mean, it can change their lives. But it's almost as though the short-term mission has done more for the person who goes in their education than it is for the patchwork and the Band-Aids put on the project that they're being part of. How do you look at all this?
I believe short-term missions can be beneficial to everyone involved. That being said, I have seen short-term missions done very poorly, and organizations who are doing it basically for tourism, meaning the churches are looking, the individuals who are going are looking for a tourist opportunity and maybe one or two days of work. But then I've also seen on the mission field talking with missionaries where teams have come and the missionaries had projects and plans to be able to do stuff, but the team came ill-prepared, not packed appropriately. There are just so many problems that are associated with it. I feel, though, if going back to our other conversation, even the whole partnership aspect, that if we, the church, the Western church here, is going to send a team, that our team should be seen as how can we extend the ministry of the missionary where we are going? What benefit is it to have 10 or 20 people come in a way that that missionary can work through that team, whether it's to have a special children's ministry event, whether it is maybe to build houses, whatever the project is, so that they are folded into the work of the local missionary. And then when the team leaves, the missionary is able to continue those new relationships that were built on the field and be able to continue to extend, to be able to share God's message of grace with the new people who didn't know who he was before. But then the people who are serving, people part of the mission team, for them to recognize their part in that and be able to serve, seeing God at work in another place, and also being open to how God might be moving their heart to serve, whether it's to go back or whether it's to be used in a new way in their own community.
Would you say a lot of this, Sharon, then, is posturing ourselves to go, if we're going to go as a team somewhere, it's exotic, it's exciting, they have great needs, maybe it's not an advanced country, it's a one-third world, whatever we call it, it's a country that's not well-developed, and that we should posture ourselves as servants, recognizing they're the locals who will stay behind and continue the work. They're the leaders, in essence. We're here to help them as they tell us is best. In other words, to drop our cultural assumptions, to try to put on filters through their eyes and let them guide us on how to best serve them. Is that a good approach?
Absolutely. It's all about humility and us recognizing that we are not bringing Jesus to the mission field when we go to serve as a team. He is already present. Mm. And the excitement for us is being able to go and see how can we come alongside these folks and encourage them, and how is it that God can use our unique talents, our unique abilities to be able to help extend that. And, you know, the interesting thing about a short-term team is that when I do go and serve in these unique locations, that the being out of my own comfort zone in a way allows my heart to be more open to God's lessons to me. Mm. And I am then more dependent on the Lord. I am more, I believe I'm more prayerful. I'm totally focused on mission. I'm totally focused on God. I'm totally focused on serving Him. Whereas at home, I have all the distractions of errands and chores and the computer and da-da-da-da-da. So when I am serving, I can hear God in a unique way, but I want to make sure that I'm taking those lessons that He has taught me back home for sure. But when I'm serving, humility to God's plan and humility to the missionary or the mission agency that I'm serving with really is primary.
Well, there's a lot of good content here. We've just touched on it. I encourage you again to consider getting the book for yourself, Mapping Church Missions. I think every church should have this book, every pastor. But also, I just say that if you just call yourself a Christian, this will help you follow the path Christ has for your life. And you might help your church become more efficient in that same direction. Sharon, thank you again for this time, for writing the book, and for the ministry you have.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. And Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. Visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com, where you can download free podcasts of all Beyond Words programs.